Where are the people with broadcasting experience, vocational experience, that could possibly step up, purchase a radio station, and run it old school, like it's going to have to be done? See, this is the deceit behind all this. This is why all this relentless pursuit of American greatness and capitalism, and it must be bigger in order to be good. This is why it doesn't work for humans. It doesn't work for people. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm raising my hand if you're not watching this on the gab.ai video stream today. There aren't any left. Me. When you heard the deep voice announcer guy in here 2 weeks ago on the 2-year anniversary show, or 3 weeks ago, him, and he's getting ready to quit because he's getting old. Where are you going to get the people from? There aren't any. This is what corporate radio media has done to the industry. It absolutely decimated it. It destroyed it. Here's the point. There is no bench. Now, how do I know this? What makes you so smart, Mr. Chair? You're just jealous. No. I swim in these waters. What makes me so sure? If I had done Crusade Channel 20 years ago, I wouldn't have had to even asked anyone to come and apply and be a talk show host. I'd have a line waiting outside when I got here every morning. The mail lady would have to bring a bag of resumes and cassette tapes and demos in here every day. And there's no way I'd ever get them. The point is, there were people that were in broadcasting. They're gone. They're gone. They aren't there anymore. Now what do you have? 1.5 million podcasting wannabes. Well, I happen to like these podcasts. Well, I hope there are cold milk going into your ears. And I'm sure some of them are probably adequate. That doesn't make them a broadcaster. Sorry, it doesn't. Doesn't make them able to just ask Celeste Youngblood. Doesn't make them able to do a newscast. Ask Christopher. He works with guys. How old's David Blake? How old's David Blake?
He is probably 75.
How old is Jim? Jim Hanzo's my age.
Jim Hanzo is around your age.
And who's the other?
Chris Miller.
Chris Miller's my age.
Dave Cohen. They're all about 55.
Dave Cohen's a little older, right?
They're all in their 50s.
Okay. Good. They're good radio.
They've been doing it for 25, that's my point. 30 years.
They're good radio guys.
Probably 90 years of experience in that one room.
Oh, dude, there's over 100 years. There's 100. Hanzo's got 25 himself. He's got 30.
Yeah,
he started in the 80s.
He started in the 80s. Yeah, he started when his...
Well, he worked 40s. For his father-in-law at Muniz.
Mm-hmm. There's five men in there.
I'm talking about... Men. Okay, yeah. The station that Christopher Moonlight's at, WWL 870 AM here in New Orleans. It's one of the stations that's going to survive because it's a good one. But they're in trouble, too, because they got to find young people that can do what David Blake does and all those names that were mentioned to come in there. And this is what has happened to the radio industry. And it's sad. The guys that he just mentioned are broadcasters. They're radio dudes, aren't they?
Right, because they start.
They make their coffee. They gather their own news. They write their own newscast. They got good mic technique. They know what they're doing. They know what sounds good. They know what sucks. They know what to do and what not to do. They've got station managers there that have been around for a long time. Program director Diane Newman has probably been there since the Jesuits were there. The point is this. They don't have a bench either. There's nobody there to take those old... There's nobody here to take my place. The only possibility... And it, folks, it's not as though I don't say at least once a week, you got a kid that wants to learn radio? Send them to me. We could use all the interns we could get our hands on around here. You think you might have a vocation in radio broadcasting? You need to send me a note. I've gotten a few. We have to develop the talent again. But I want you to understand what my point is. So my point is not to dance on graves. My point is not to, we're the greatest ever. No. My point is this. The system that created this disaster stinks. It stinks for humans. Oh, it's great for Wall Street brokers and the men that made tens, if not hundreds, of billions of dollars off the mergers and acquisitions. They left a carcass of an industry that's going to die. It's on life support right now. It's great. It's kind of like this show sometimes. What it sounds like when it dies. They left a carcass. And it ought to be a lesson. It won't be, but it ought to be a lesson. And maybe to some people, it'll temper them. It ought to be a lesson that Rupke and Belloc and Chesterton and all those wise men at the turn of the last century and Aldous Huxley and as recently as McIntyre with the End of Virtue and Richard Weaver and all these guys that all warned about this. Big is not good. This is why we tell you here, when we tell you the truth, that capitalism is just a flip side of the coin of Marxism. Capitalism is Marxism. Now, why? That gets some of you libertarian, Tom Woods, Murray Rothbard, LouRockwell.com, people, get your underwear on a wad. Well, you know what? You ought to try and do something about that and call the show one day and debate. Capitalism is a pursuit and the acquisition of things that are material. What is Marxism? Marxism is the principle that all there is to do in this life is to acquire material things. There is no spirit world. There is no soul. There is no afterlife. There is no God. There is no heaven. There is no hell. There is only the material world, and thus we must deal with it, and we must make the material world fair, you see, because you only have a certain amount of time to live, and everything that can be done or that a human could do must be done in this life. That includes all of the material things and the charms and pomps and circumstances that this world offers. They must all be consumed by man, you see. There's very little difference between a capitalist and a Marxist. Other than the capitalist gets to go out and propagandize and say, nanya, nanya, boo-boo. Yeah, well, guess what, Mike? Here in capitalist America, we have all this food and stuff. Ah, the false paradigm. Because you have this, then you think that there's no other way to have it that you could have it as plentiful. Can you prove that? No, you can't. Put this feather in your cap. Or this nugget of very sweet tobacco in your pipe and smoke on it for a minute. How did man ever get to the point where a Marx could exist? Well, surely we must have perished 1,000 times over. Dying every generation from the paucity of our enlightened, or of our enlightenedness, not being able to provide. Just imagine the billions that must have starved to death in misery. Because, you know, prior to color television, people lived in black and white. Did you ever see the movie Pleasantville with Tobey Maguire?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you've all seen The Wizard of Oz. First stanza of The Wizard of Oz happens in black and white, right? Second stanza in Oz happens in color. And then they go back to Kansas in black and white again at the end. The movie Pleasantville does a good job of showing viewers with modern filming techniques what the world might look like if it was actually in black and white. So people think, though, that men that lived in any century other than ours must have been living like the people in Pleasantville in black and white. Miserable. Angry, tired, starved to death, everyone has bubonic plague, etc., etc. That's not the, but what does the actual experience say? Experience says that that's not the case. Look at the beauty that remains in all of Europe. Look at the architecture and the artwork that remains in Europe. looks to me like a pretty happy, pretty successful, pretty resource-rich people. Must have built all those churches. Must have built all those schools and universities. Must have built all those towns. Must have painted all those works. How could they possibly have done so? They lived in black and white. They lived in black and white.